History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Not even trying today.
What?
Not even, no.
Oh,
we're not
for
doing
Christ's
that.
Sakes.
You shut your whore mouth. It's a Monday morning.
What's the matter, buddy?
I'm hurting bad.
Why?
In the break room. I will. No, I
can't handle the bright lights in Kansas City.
Oh, my fire, gonna set my soul. Missouri steak and something. You're hanging out in the break room. That's just classic. I'm sorry. Hold on. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Been better, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding. Hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. It is 23 degrees in Rochester. Feels like 5.
Mm-hmm.
I miss you guys. I'll say that.
Well, you would not have liked Tommy's attitude this morning. He came in way too cheerful.
God.
Like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, how about that game, huh?
Hey, you gotta push on. Go get him next year.
Shut up, stupid.
Next year, we'll knock the door down.
I got to tell you, man, I am currently broadcasting from Kansas City. I was at the game yesterday that we all witnessed. And we have all day to get into what happened and what we saw. Because it was, I mean, Kimmy, I don't know how you feel. It was one of the weirdest games I've ever watched because they're down double digits. Then all of a sudden they're ahead. Then you got exactly what you wanted. You got the, okay, but.
Mm-hmm.
Being in that, like that experience yesterday was electric. And I want to hate Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
But they are so nice.
Well, it's the Midwest.
They make them impossible to hate.
Well, like, do you think it also helps that they've won the last 2 years in a row? Like, I feel like I'd probably be nice to everybody, too, if I was just, like, the reigning champs.
Everything's
all the
just
time.
Rolling your way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's superstars watching your game in-house.
I guess it's possible, but I mean, counterpoint to that, Kimmy, if there is one team that's been a formidable opponent that they, I mean, they were definitely nervous. The Chiefs fans that I saw yesterday, like no one was confident walking into that game yesterday. Tommy, you know this. I think it's just the Midwest. I mean, we've been out here a ton. They're just the kindest, nicest, most gentlest people. And it
Are you
pisses,
saying that because you're still there?
Oh, no. I mean, I would
Are
tell.
Are we getting the real opinion here?
They're just very comfortable people.
Yeah, they are. But no, Kimmy, I'm in a soundproof booth. I want one to walk up to the window and say something. Do it. I wanted someone to say. I had so much anger and aggression. I was telling you guys off mic.
Yeah.
So I went to the game with our boss yesterday, and where we were sitting, I was surrounded by like 60-year-old moms and grandmoms.
Okay.
And they were all like checking in on me throughout the game. Like I got multiple hugs when I was leaving. Like, stop being so damn nice. I want to hate. Let me hate you. Let me hate you.
You know what's nice about women from the Midwest at that age? They all smell like cookies.
No, you're
Fresh
not wrong,
baked
man.
Baked cookies.
You're not wrong.
They're always baking something, man.
Always up to something in that kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this, though. Like, if there is one thing that you can hate Chiefs fans for.
What's that?
You know, you brought up the win in the Super Bowl the last 2 years, 7 straight AFC championships, all that stuff. I don't know if it came through on the broadcast, but the amount of Bills fans in that stadium yesterday was astonishing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw pictures or videos and pictures of like the tailgate scene, and it looked like it was a sea of Bills fans, but you could even see it in like sprinkled throughout the stadium, too.
You see the blue in there.
So, like, I was on the Chiefs sideline side in the upper deck, and like looking across to the Bills sideline side, the first 20 rows were almost like solid blue. Like, when the Chiefs offense was on the field, you could hear the crowd of Bills fans making noise, right?
Damn.
And like in the parking lot where we ended up, there had to be 5,000 Bills fans. All
Jesus
they all found.
Christ.
There's this kid who lives here in Kansas City. He used to live in Rochester, and he runs the Kansas City Bills backers. And he organized this whole caravan in, and they just took over like one of the lot. It was insane, man. It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
So, what did those people pay for those tickets then? To sit that close to the sidelines?
Yeah.
That's a great question, because I'll tell you this. You know, I obviously had the good fortune of being such a Dynamite employee that I got to come here for free.
So you were in the upper deck brown nosing level, right?
Yes, you got it. Yeah.
Club brown nose, as they call it.
Okay, I don't want to hear it out of you. I don't want to hear it out of you.
Hey, I'm not there. I'm not there right now. I'm sitting here with Tommy.
So let me put it this way. Like, our seats were awesome. We were on like the 50-yard line, upper deck, right? They were great. But the guy sitting next to us, because I'm just out of curiosity, I go, hey, man, if you don't mind me asking, what'd you spend? He's a Kansas City fan who bought him from a Kansas City season ticket holder, $800 a seat.
And you're up in a second level.
Yeah, no, third level, like the high.
Oh, so those people down the bottom got to be in the thousands.
Can't imagine.
It's possible. Let me put it this way. We were so high that Taylor Swift's private jet knocked my hat off on the way in. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. But like, okay, so the two things that I'm managing to pull anger from with Chiefs fans is one, you sold the amount of Chiefs fans that sold their season tickets to an AFC championship game. Because Kimmy, the whole reason you get tickets.
It's a secondary market.
But I'm saying, like, you get season tickets as a football fan to have that ticket to a game
thought you
like
were saying
that.
The whole reason the Bills fans got them.
No. I'm saying, how as a fan could you go, you know what, I don't need to go to the most important game of the season?
Yeah, but like, question.
But to your point, though, they've been so much now.
That now the expectation is Super Bowl. Right?
Yeah, because you always talk about that greatest comeback ever for that Houston game with Buffalo.
Yeah.
And it didn't even sell out, and people were leaving. And
yeah, it was blacked out. But to the leaving part, too, the thing that really bothered me, right? So.
What's that?
The game finishes up. They get that first down on third, right? Everything finishes up. Here comes the confetti, and they're bringing out the stage piece by piece. And I thought, Tommy, I'm like, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to watch it and witness history.
Yeah.
And I was so bothered. I'm like, I can't watch it.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
So I tell our boss, Bob, I go, listen, man, if you want to stay and watch it, I get it. I'm going to be up here. And he's like, nah, we can get out of here. That's cool. So we end up leaving. The amount of Chiefs fans that left without even watching the trophy presentation.
Yeah, like, how do you not stick around for that?
I've seen it, man.
I don't want to get confetti.
What are you
standing
like Stephon Diggs crying on his head?
Well, no, but I mean, I don't know. Like, I thought.
Did any Bills fans you think stuck around to watch it?
No, I'll be honest. I don't know, man. I got the hell out of there. I was so frustrated. I was so frustrated. Because, again, it would have been easier to stand there and watch it had they been mean to me, because then my New York mouth could come out and I could, you know, make them hate their souls. But they weren't. I couldn't. I don't know, man. The funny thing is, though,
what's that?
And I've seen this over and over again, and it actually tracks perfectly with the kind of person you are. It's always the smallest, skinniest idiots that try to say something. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I mean, like, if there ever was any friction, it was always from, like,
a weasel.
The skinnier the guy, the bigger the idiot.
He could barely grow a mustache, right? Like, his mother obviously smokes meth. Like, it was one of those situations where, like, if it was going to happen, it was coming from the guy that was going to get hurt the most for doing it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And, like, from a personal standpoint, and I know there are going to be a ton of Bills fans coming back to Western New York after having this experience, and I'm preparing you in case you have someone in your family or friend group that, you know, they're going to want to talk about
it. Yeah, what do I do?
Well, I don't know how to feel about this experience, because obviously it was awesome being there for that. It was awesome. But at the same time, it was devastating to sit there live and watch what happened. Devastating. Yeah. So like, I don't know if I'm like, I don't think I regret coming, but at the same time, it was like, I cannot believe I came all the way out to Kansas City.
You took a chance, right?
You took a chance.
Yeah.
You took a shot.
Because Tommy and I were talking about this, too. Yeah. We were kind of preparing ourselves before the game even started, like, for the letdown. Like, we were like, you know, like, if they win, it's going to be awesome, but I'm preparing myself in case they don't. Like, did you go into the game with that mentality, or were you just like, we're going to win this one?
My body woke me up at 5 a.m. Kansas City time yesterday. I was wide awake. And Kimmy, at no point until that fourth down heave that popped out of Kincaid's hands did I think the Bills were going to lose that game.
Wow.
I did not allow myself, and it wasn't even on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I did not allow myself all day to even consider the idea that I would be leaving here without booking a flight to New Orleans to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
See, I was the total opposite.
Like, that opening drive where he almost
looked a little jittery.
He almost threw two interceptions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yay.
Yeah.
And then he started, he didn't look comfortable.
He settled, but that first drive was a little scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was interesting. And again, we'll be getting into the actual game of it. But, like, I mean, you know how these games go. It's never the first drive. It's never the first half, right? Because you knew there was going to be a point where the Bills were going to end up making Mahomes uncomfortable, which they did. I don't know, man. Like, there was just something about being amongst all those Bills fans in that environment. We had done it so many times. Like, I was 100% convinced this is it. And maybe that's why I'm so, definitely hungover. I can't believe I did it to myself again, Tommy. I did it again.
What'd you do?
So, like, you know, last time I was here, a little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Last year when I came for the regular season game, I was in a suite, mm-hmm. and they had unlimited beers that you could just take.
Yeah, nice.
And, yeah, it was great, except, again, it was another close game. So I did not stop drinking from an hour before the game. I was literally slamming a beer walking out of the stadium.
This is this time or last time?
This is last time.
Okay.
And I woke up to do the show here, and I was getting rides all over the place.
Yeah.
I was still drunk, and I'm like, oh, we've made a terrible mistake. And throughout the show, like you guys know this, around 9 o'clock, I'm in this beautiful studio in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I was going to puke.
Oh.
And I was doing everything I could for the last hour of the show to hold it down, because I didn't think it was a good impression. That was the first time I had met our new boss, all in his studio, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yesterday, I'm like, all right, we're going to take it easy. We're just going to enjoy the game. And the second you get out there with those Bills fans, man, like, it got away from me immediately.
So you drank the whole game?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing, man. Like, what kind of stupid question is that?
I don't know. Did you stop in the fourth quarter?
Why would you stop
yourself? Did they stop serving in the fourth quarter?
Oh, probably.
I don't know, because I had already grabbed a bunch of beers.
Oh. You had a stack.
Right.
I was like, remember when Octomom had to carry all her babies at the same time?
Octomom.
The woman that had eight kids. I'm sorry. Look, I've dragged myself back to 15-year-old pop culture references. Right. That's where I'm at right now. No, but like, we didn't even go to the game with beer. Like, that's how cool I was going to be. And then we end up in that Bills lot. And Kimmy, you know how it is. Like, Bills fans, everybody is handing you beers all over the place.
Nice.
I mean, folks, there was a guy that drove with like a truck full of Blue Light. And he's like, here you go. And I'm like, all right. And yeah, Jesus. It was blast off central, man. It was not good. It's not good. I don't know how I'm going to fly home. This is bad.
Does he sound all right?
Shut up. Shut up, you stupid, ugly bastard. All right. We got a dynamite. Life goes on. Gonna break them for you this morning here on CMF.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Tommy, when you travel, it's easiest to travel with the ones you love.
Oh, yeah. If you can still love them when you get home.
Well, but that's just it, Tommy.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ones you love are not human things.
What?
And that can get complicated when you're trying to move yourself from one city to another.
Mm.
But one business in New York has decided that they are going to do everything they can to make sure you have your four-legged friends with you. You hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Tommy!
Yeah, buddy?
New York's largest bus carrier. Like, jump on a bus and go to another city.
Who is that?
That would be Trailways.
Ah, the old Trailways. Been around forever.
They're making a big change.
What are they going to do?
Trailways, the bus company, announced late last week they are now allowing pets on board.
Man, if you thought the bus smelled bad before, wait, let's put some dog ass in there now. Because buses have a smell.
Oh, shut up,
there
man.
Is a bus
shut
smell. Up. It's not, it's just.
When was the last time you were on a bus?
A long time, and there's a
over
reason
over the weekend,
why.
I heard he was on a train. Yeah, shut up.
No, buses smell.
Okay.
Especially long, you know, distant bus.
Yeah.
Long distance bus.
I'm not talking city bus. I'm talking about travel bus.
Bro,
Greyhound.
Greyhound.
What are you doing?
Trailway.
What are you from the Smoky Mountains? Get on a Greyhound, Trailway, Greyhound, my dog.
Mega bus.
Can I pet that dog? seriously. Like, you haven't been on a Greyhound in 35 years.
You think it's changed? The same people that took the bus 50 years ago, the same people that take the bus.
No, joke's on you, because if you take like a Greyhound, your life expectancy is only like 37, so it's not the same people. So prior to this announcement last week, Trailways would only allow service animals.
But
here are the new rules, Tommy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Only small dogs and cats under 25 pounds are allowed on the bus.
All right.
They will have to ride in a carrier while on the bus. They have to be kept at your feet. And it's going to cost you an extra $10 to bring your furry four-legged friend on this long-term bus trip.
$10?
$10.
Yeah. All right, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so bad.
So is this going to make people take the bus more, Tommy?
I guess.
I mean, I guess if you're looking to travel with your pet, that and your pet qualifies, that might be the easiest way to do it.
Pet qualification.
But most people that take the bus aren't taking like a vacation.
How do you know?
Well, no, but that would make sense then if you're going to like visit family or something.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well,
it's like God designed you to take the bus. Like, I don't know what you think you look like, man.
I ain't no bus person.
You look like the fanciest man in a prison town is what you look like. No, okay, so like, let's walk through this here. Right. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263, because I've never like flown with a dog or a cat. Have either of you?
No.
No, but I have family that have.
Okay, is it a pain in the ass?
Of course.
All right. So if I have the option of taking a two-hour flight somewhere and dealing with all that stuff, or I can keep my dog with me on a bus trip, it's still a long bus trip.
Yeah, you're adding so much time, because don't forget, it's not a straight shot. Buses stop constantly. Yeah, so
but
it
that
takes,
actually works in your favor, though, if you have a dog or cat.
But if you want to get someplace, it takes you forever.
Right. But with a plane, you're stuck on the plane.
Right.
At least with the bus, like, the dog can get out, go to the bathroom, go back on.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point. No, I mean, like, as a former smoker, the greatest part about taking the bus was you could stop and have a cigarette, where, you know, airport to airport, it wasn't happening.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's just a dreary way of traveling.
Oh, my God. Okay, so 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Trailways, the long carrier bus company, announced late last week that they are now allowing pets on board. Dogs and cats under 25 pounds got to stay in a carrier. Here's the thing, man. I get it. I get that everybody, if you've taken a bus trip, has had one or two unpleasant bus experiences. Yeah. But is it any more unpleasant than an airport trip, in all seriousness?
No, but it's at least the airport. It's quicker. I'm there. Like, buses take hours. And, you know, at least with the plane, you're going to get there nice.
Says man who missed his first ever day of work 2 years ago because there was no plane for him to take home.
I'll take that over the goddamn bus.
How do you... See, that's stupid. I hate guys like you who are like, oh, airport never goes wrong. You have a better chance of something going wrong at the airport for delays than you do of having a smooth, straight shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it moves. You'll get there. It may be slower, but it's still the fastest option.
Okay.
When it works.
So I don't disagree with you, one, that the biggest problem might be the smell.
Oh.
Right? Because, like, I mean, not only do dogs smell most of the time, like, they're going to take dumps in that crate.
They're going to take dumps in that crate, and, you know, and the barking, you know, if they're quiet.
Yeah.
But you could
get that on a plane, too.
True. But again, I won't have to spend 10 to 12 hours with this animal. And then if you have any kind of, like, allergies.
Oh, that is a good point. I don't know how they get around that, in terms, even, like, plane or traveling in general with a pet. Like, other people around that animal feel about it, if you're allergic, or I don't know.
Between the cat ass, the dog ass, and then somebody's going to bring some food that is just going to permeate the whole goddamn
fuselage. Okay, but that can happen on a plane,
fuselage.
Too.
Yeah, wait, you said fuselage. Now you're talking planes, you don't even realize
no,
it.
No, it's a fuselage. Bus has a fuselage, too.
There's no fuselage
it's
on a bus.
It's a fuselage.
Kimmy, Google the definition of fuselage.
And here's the problem with people on a plane. The people on a plane, it's tight when you eat. People on a bus, then they spread out their food.
Oh, my
God.
The food's
no,
like,
they
oh,
don't.
Shut
yes,
up.
They do.
They spread out their food?
They do, man.
What does that even
people
mean?
People, like, start opening up, like, containers and stuff.
Fuselage.
And
so, like, the main body of an aircraft.
You idiot.
Or a plane or a bus craft.
No.
Bus craft. Sounds like a German metal band.
You're going to be watching people eating out of containers.
Okay.
And it'll be like those old containers that have been, like, you know, that what? Piece of Tupperware you got that's
like
stained red and brown because you have served so much stuff out of it.
I think the biggest problem, if there was going to be a problem with bringing dogs and cats on these Trailways buses in these crates,
besides
right?
the rolling ass, what?
Okay. If you travel by plane or train, there are stewards and stewardesses that keep travel in check. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. There's people like walking up and down and see what's happening.
And they make sure people follow the rules. Mm-hmm. They ensure the comfort of all the passengers. Bus don't have that.
No, you're on your own.
And it's great that Trailway says, hey, you got to keep the pets in the crate. But let's say someone
decides not to.
Exactly.
Right.
Lawless.
Yes, he ain't stopping the bus driver to yell at him. I mean, hell, the driver may not even know the pet's out on account of, you know, driving the bus.
Right.
This does feel like one of those ideas where, although Trailways may have their hearts in the right place, in practice, it will be a disaster.
Yeah.
So you're telling me right now, Tommy,
what's that?
There's no way you would take a bus for a long-term destination.
No, it'd be out of desperation. The only way I would do it.
Okay.
Well, you would?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It depends on where I'm going.
Let's say you want to go to Florida.
You'll see, no. Well, that's like 36 hours, man.
All right, yeah, so let's say you want to go to New York City.
New York City.
Yankees play New York City.
Okay.
I could do that, I think.
Yeah. All right. You think?
Well, no, I mean, like,
but your ass is spoiled, London boy.
London
you
boy.
You flying high, Kansas City, at the brown nose section, suite level, sucking down fancy man suds.
Bro.
And now you're going to get on the bus.
I don't know. When I was flying here, the first one out of Rochester,
yeah.
I was on the world's literal smallest plane. I don't know if you saw the picture I put up on social media. I'm 6'3". Bro, the side of my neck was touching the roof of that plane.
So is it a... Were the seats single or double?
It was one single, one double on the other side.
Okay, yeah. Those are pretty narrow.
Yeah.
It was like we were flying to the island of Dr. Moreau. It was very uncomfortable, man.
So where'd you fly? Where was your connection?
Detroit.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is what it is. But, like, yeah. I hate idiots like you. And you know what this is, Kimmy? What? This is a generational thing.
Why?
Because when Tommy was a kid, wow, fly the comfortable skies, cool.
It was a luxury.
Wow, it's not that anymore, man. They heard you on like cattle, they heard you off. It's literally the same experience as getting on a bus.
And they yell at you the whole time.
She's right. She's absolutely right.
I get to security and I already think I did something wrong.
Well, you smell like you did something wrong. You probably been burning one in the parking lot with your green seam.
That sounds like actually a terrible experience.
What?
Flying high.
Why?
Because it could go one way or the other. Like, you could have smooth sailing, nothing bothers you, or you could be paranoid as hell.
Oh, I thought it would chill you out now.
Depends.
I mean, it's legal now. Right?
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to do that.
I love how he goes, it'll chill you out now because it's legal. When it was illegal, it wasn't going
to
chill you out.
Well, I'd be afraid smelling like weed going to the airport when it was illegal.
I wouldn't attempt it because I wouldn't know which way I'm going to be on the plane when I get on there.
It is funny. You never smell like weed.
I don't smoke weed every day.
All right. I mean, I've worked with people that smoke every day.
I know.
It was pretty heavy duty.
I worked with them, too.
Yeah, I had a contact buzz.
I love how you say that working on WCMF. Guys, I don't know if you know this.
Well, we had some heavy duties.
Yeah, no kidding,
we had some lights. We had some heavy duty smokers.
I was afraid that I wasn't going to get the job because I didn't smoke. And you feel the need to share that with everybody. I don't know if you heard WCMF. Yeah, we got a couple weed smokers over here. We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF or the Breaker Facebook page. This comes in from Ann. Anne says, the bus can be tricky, the airport can be tricky, the train is the most comfortable way to travel, and you can tell Tommy hasn't taken it in a long time.
With the train?
I do like the train.
Eh.
You don't like the train?
I've been up and down on the train.
Well, yeah, but that's...
What do you mean? Like,
I've had some okay experiences and some really crappy ones.
Why? What made it crappy, though?
It's just like...
I mean, I know it takes longer to get to where you're going,
but... It takes longer. Train stations are like bus stations... Are never in a nice part of town.
That's not true. It just depends on the city you're in.
Well, every city except New York and Washington that I've been in, you get off the train, it's like you're in, it's scary.
Well, yeah, it's because they only booked you in poverty areas when you were doing stand-up comedy. It's the only people that would have you.
And then one, we had a rat on the train.
Oh, yeah, that might ruin it.
And this thing was like, and it was a...
Because now I don't, if I lose sight of it, this thing was in my head.
This thing was a fatty, and it had a tail as wide as my goddamn thumb.
That's not that wide.
Oh, ask your mom.
I cannot wait. I'm like the first thing.
Mama couldn't wait either, bro.
The first thing I'm doing when I walk in that studio tomorrow is directly to your face and punching it. That is the first thing I'm going to do. Let's take a break.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South, but for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
And just like that, it's all done.
All gone.
A magical season. Mm. And I understand we as Bills fans will all be going through the stages of grief trying to deal with what happened yesterday in our own way.
Sure, sure.
And maybe, just maybe, in a couple of days, it's not even something, this particular thing we think about. But I got to be honest with you.
What's that?
At the risk of sounding petty and small, one of my core beliefs in sports has been deeply shaken after one play in that game yesterday.
Man, what'd you say?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. I am live in Kansas City this morning. I got to tell you, it's great doing this show not having to look at your ugly face, Tommy. Okay.
What?
I'm going to ask Kimmy first.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll be quiet over here.
You shut.
I am.
I'm ready.
I'm completely quiet.
All right, Kimmy.
Yep.
Fourth and one.
Yep.
When, to me, it looked like they had picked it up on third down, but that's a whole other argument.
Yep.
Did he get it?
Well, I don't know, Jim. Looked like he crossed that line.
So I was in the stadium, and where I was sitting was right down that line.
Yeah.
All right, so you lined up on it.
It wasn't even a question in my head when that play was over that he got it.
Well, I mean, there was one line judge that ran out and clearly gave it to him, and then the other guy was a little bit behind. And I'm like, even if they met in the middle, he still would have got it.
Because, like, I am a subscriber, and Tom, you know this. I've said this for years, that I am never one to complain about individual calls in a football game, because over time, throughout that game, it evens itself out, right?
Yeah.
By the end of the game, it's all equal. But I am having a really hard time this morning abiding by that rule. Well, I mean, it's not even accepting. I mean, Kimmy, unless I am wrong, because, again, I was watching it live, and I didn't get to hear Romo and Nance and, what is it, Gene Steratore, the rules analyst there?
Yeah.
It, to me, with my eyes in person, he got it.
Yeah.
He got that first. How did they not give him that first down, Kimmy?
I don't know, because we were watching the broadcast, and it seemed like everybody on the broadcast was in agreement that they probably should have given him the first down.
And they reviewed it, too.
Yeah, that's what's a little confusing. Again, like, the game shouldn't come down to that, but it always does when they play Kansas City. It's without a doubt some controversial calls.
Kansas City gets all the calls their way.
Well, and that's just it. Like, I hate being that guy. I don't want to
be
that guy.
But that was all over, even before the game started.
I mean,
yesterday.
That was the pivotal moment there at the end. I mean, it was that changed the game.
So, like, you know, being at the game in KC, Chiefs fans have leaned into this whole, the refs are on their side.
Yeah.
There were probably 100 different Chiefs fans that dressed up as referees for the game. And, like, if we get into this game yesterday, right, like, it was a very weird kind of game because the Bills come out and go 3-and-out, and it's like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs march right down the field.
Yep.
Oh, no. There's a point before halftime where you could be down 11 with the Chiefs getting the ball back, coming out of the locker room, and then Josh with that ball and Mac Hollins with the catch.
Huge.
Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, somehow, despite everything that had been a disaster in the first half, the Bills are leading. The Bills are leading going into the fourth quarter, and they have the ball. They have control.
It felt like time was on their side at the end.
What the hell happened? How? Because I don't know about you guys, Kimmy. There was never a point in that game where I felt comfortable after the kickoff.
Oh, no. But I think we knew that was going to happen. Yeah, I didn't see this being a let's cruise to the end kind of game. Did you?
No. I guess I put that the wrong way. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I guess what I mean is, even in these Chiefs games in the past where it goes back and forth and back and forth, there's a flow to it. You know what I mean? Like, you can feel when the defense is going to get a stop. You can feel when the offense is going to start moving. I could not feel a thing that team was doing yesterday. And I don't know if that's a bad thing. It's just like all of a sudden the plays came out of nowhere. It wasn't like I feel good about this. It was like, play. Oh, not good, not good. Play. Not good, not good. Play. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that feels like every Bills playoff game in the last 5 years, you know?
But the whole broadcast wasn't comfortable to listen to. I remember there was one moment where Romo was questioning one of the Josh threw that ball, and because I don't know why he threw that ball, you know, he got lucky because, you know, it was a free play, but he didn't know that. But then when they go back and he looks at it, he goes, oh, yeah, I guess he did see that.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, criticizing him.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah, I guess he did see that, so I'm wrong. Like, it was, like, so off, man. I'm like, you have a spotter standing
there
behind you.
There were a lot of close calls, though, in that game, just in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see why they had to go back and forth a lot.
I mean, like, when you look at what ended up happening yesterday, your MVP of the game, numbers-wise, is James Cook. He's your leading rusher, and he's your second leading receiver in that game. And why they did not use him more, Kimmy,
they abandoned that.
What happened?
I don't know. It's
but then it started working really good for
at the end there. I don't know. I don't know.
But you weren't playing catch-up. You were never down more than one possession after halftime. I don't get it. I don't understand. And it's not like the Chiefs were making all the right moves in the second half either. You were getting your stops there. There was a turnover that you pulled away from them. And look, the fact that they didn't use Cook more bothers me. Mm-hmm. The drop by Kincaid, I don't even know if you want to call that a drop on that last offensive play.
It was a tough catch, but it was catchable.
Hey, can they stop saying this?
What?
You know, you got to make those catches.
Well, you do.
The guy's half airborne with his ass over his head trying to catch this ball.
Josh is getting crushed.
Well, you gotta make those catches. Well, you know, shut up.
Well, no, you got two guys giving – Josh is getting a prostate exam at 90 miles an hour. You do have to make that catch.
You got to make that catch.
I mean,
in this league, you got to make that catch.
Dalton said it himself after the game.
But what's a kid going to say?
I know.
I wouldn't have talked to anybody.
That sucked.
I think that's what also hurt even more. Like, the game ends. All right, I'm slowly accepting that this was it. Like, the season's over. But then when they interview Sean McDermott and they're – and Josh is at the podium, and they both look like they've been crying.
Yeah.
I'm like, it hurts all over again. It's like a loss again. I feel like I experienced two losses yesterday because that was hard to watch.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. Like, it's hard. If I told you out loud, like, I feel really, really bad, for this guy who makes $250 million on a contract, that sounds like a stupid thing. But I'm with you 100%.
It felt like a family member, seeing a family member cry.
I know. And, like, there isn't even really – I guess the big debate now over the next couple of days, if you're a Bills fan.
What's that?
Is what happened yesterday and the way the season ended, is it devastating because you were on the doorstep? Or was this an awesome season because it was essentially found money based on the roster that we had? Nobody thought they were getting here.
No, true.
And, like, it feels like loser talk to me, that second one. But, I mean, there is validation to that. Like, you know – Mac Hollins is your leading receiver in the AFC Championship game, and he had a hell of a game. That catch was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is like any – I guess what's more frustrating, too, it's not even like a stepping stone because you've been here before.
Right.
Like, you can't even say, like, hey, this we are moving in the direction of where we want to be. I mean, it's great, and the season was fun, and it was magical, and I'm sure, you know, 5 years from now looking back on it, we're going to have nothing but fond memories. But I don't know how to feel – if I should be devastated or this is promising because they're going to have a bunch of money to spend next year and guys that have been in the system for longer.
Well, what makes me, I think it's also the fact that they're losing to the Chiefs. Like, I don't think this would have been as devastating had they lost to the Ravens, do you?
Like, remember that Bengals loss in the divisional a couple years ago? That one hurt.
You still would have been upset, but I think it's the fact that it all came down to that last possession again against the Chiefs that just makes it that much more frustrating.
You know what's funny, you know, talking about this game yesterday?
What is that?
So the Bills turned the ball over on fourth down with, what, 2.5 minutes left? Something like that? Or was it under two? I can't remember.
Mm.
I was convinced both teams were going to touch, like, it was going to be stop, Bills ball, Chiefs ball, Bills ball. I was convinced that there was going to be three more possessions in that game.
Just you thought the Bills were going to get the ball back?
Definitely. You had two timeouts. I mean, you got to stop on one of those second downs. Like, I thought it was coming back.
Right. And
I didn't think the Bills would be the last one to touch the ball, even in that scenario. Like, for as great as that game was, and it was great. I mean, you look at the numbers for both the quarterbacks, the rushing. There were plays that are going to be remembered forever. It was kind of anticlimactic in regards to what we're normally used to with the Chiefs-Bills game.
Okay.
Yeah. Which sounds silly. Like, that's how ridiculous these games have been. You know, it's like a fourth down heave inside fingertips under 3 minutes. It's like, oh, that's all we got for entertainment here? Oh, this sucks. I don't know, man. Like, I can't help but feel a little bit robbed this morning.
And because of that call?
I mean, there's a couple of them, man. I don't, and I'm not here to say it's a conspiracy, and I don't know if there's a concerted effort by the NFL, because I don't know, Kimmy, why you would keep wanting the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, well, at this point, the big story is they're going for the three-peat, right? So that's
never been
done. Yeah, I think if there's one team nobody's been talking about or really cares much about, it's been the Eagles. Because everybody, like, I was watching leading up to that
55 points. You
leading up to the Eagles Commanders game, everybody was all about the Commanders and Jaden Daniels and them being an underdog.
Oh yeah,
and then they came up short and we're like, oh well, I guess the Eagles are back too.
Well, I mean, okay, so as we're having that conversation, I'm getting a bunch of Facebook messages from people, and I see you guys on hold. Sit tight for me. You know, say the NFL is working to get the Chiefs into the Super Bowl. It doesn't make any sense based on opponent and the fact, like, everybody hates the Chiefs outside of Missouri.
Yeah, I think everybody's an Eagles fan in a few weeks, yeah.
And not to mention, we've seen the Super Bowl already. We saw it 2 years ago.
Right,
like, this
right.
is not exciting.
And that was a close one, too. So, I mean, I guess, like, you know, you could say that Eagles get revenge in a way, right?
But I don't think when it comes to the juiciest matchup,
yeah.
I mean, whoever the Bills were playing was going to be the juiciest matchup. So when it comes to, like, you know, bad calls or missed calls, I don't think it's an effort on the NFL. Like, it almost seems like a, I don't know. I know it's hard to make that call, but you had a chance to look. I don't know. I'm so. All right, let's take a call before we move on.
All right,
go here. 252
WCMF. Let's talk to Redneck. Hey, Redneck, how you doing, buddy?
Morning, fellas. Hey. So I don't know if you guys actually realize this or not, but the Chiefs played a mind game on the Bills last night.
Man.
So every time the Bills were on a hard drive, they'd take a timeout and put them on ice. And then after that,
that's not
you
fair.
Know, the Bills would, well, it, I mean, it is what it is. But it this is my take off of it. It was just a complete mind game for the Bills on the Chiefs last night. And that's why they lost. Like I say, every time they had a hard drive, they were doing good, and then all of a sudden, Mahomes got scared, and they'd take a timeout, and it was just, it was a good game, but close
no,
game.
I would argue that actually hurt them, not to get too deep here, but they did that in the first half, and they had no timeouts left going into halftime, which meant they couldn't try and score after Josh threw
that
touchdown.
That's what Andy Reid wanted you to think, man. Yeah.
Man.
Look, Redneck. We're all trying to cope this morning. And again, we'll feel better in a couple of days. But
yeah.
Just hold the ones closest to you. Hold the ones closest to you.
I hear you.
Great to talk to you, Redneck.
All right, take a timeout.
There goes Mind Games, Redneck. You only got three timeouts. What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Man.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.